From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A local measure in Los Angeles, California, last year to establish a public banking system failed. But organizers did not give up and instead set their sights even higher. A bill, AB 857, introduced by Assemblyman David Chu, to allow municipalities in California to establish their own public banking system, has now gained steam and is working its way through various committees, based on the idea that public money should be held in public institutions. Rather than private Wall Street banks, organizers are more hopeful than ever for public banking system to become a reality. We turn now to Trinity Tran. She's the lead organizer with the California Public Banking Alliance. Welcome to the program, Trinity.
Thank you, Sonali. Thanks for having me.
So we had spoken to you last year when the Los Angeles ballot measure was being considered. And as I mentioned, that measure did fail. How did that lead to going to a California-wide effort on public banking?
It's been one incredible year. So last year, last summer, we led the charge for Measure B as the first city in the nation to ask for voter approval for a public bank. Measure B would just change one section in the Los Angeles City Charter to allow the city to take the next steps for a public bank. And we had 4 months to organize, completely grassroots campaign, with little funding, with no infrastructure. And then within 4 months, we really drummed up the energy around public banking, catapulted the conversation onto the national scale, and came out with 44% of the vote, with 430,000 Angelenos voting yes to a public bank. We were only 7% away from a win with virtually no money. And so that momentum really helped drive the statewide effort. So after Measure B, we immediately pivoted towards creating a bill at the state level that would enable not only cities like, not only Los Angeles, but cities across the state that were moving towards creating public banks. We formed an alliance, a 10-city strong alliance with activists from across the state, and became the California Public Banking Alliance. And now we are pushing AB 857, working with our joint authors, Assembly Members David Chu and Assembly Member Miguel Santiago from Los Angeles, to create a legal and regulatory framework for a network of public banks in the state of California. And on Friday, we passed our final Senate committee hearing. And it's an exciting time because we are now headed to the Senate floor.
So that's a tremendous amount of progress. So you went from having to convince voters in one city to back a ballot measure to having to convince lawmakers across the nation's largest state. Has a lot of the work this past year been convincing Assembly and State Senate lawmakers that this is an important enough bill that they should back it?
Absolutely. There's been a lot of work with the technical aspects of it, creating the regulations that the Department of Business Oversight would issue for these banks. We've negotiated amendments all the way through each committee. There's a series of negotiations that has to take place between the committee chairs and the alliance and our authors every step through the legislation. So we've now passed the Assembly Banking and Finance, Assembly Local Government, Assembly Appropriations, the entire Assembly floor, Senate Banking, Senate Governance, Senate Appropriations. So every step of the way, we've taken amendments to strengthen the regulation, to strengthen the legislation, to ensure that there are proper oversight for these public banks. And we've had to lobby our way through each of these committees, just as the opposing side, very well-financed banking lobbyists are lobbying to kill this bill every step. We've had to lobby on the people's side to really communicate the message of why this legislation is important for Californians. And, you know, if you look at the track record for Wall Street within the past decade alone, it's quite apparent that we need an alternative financial institution that actually works into the benefit of our people and helps sustain our communities.
So let's explain to our audience exactly how a public bank is different from a private bank. You know, there's a lot of talk about from the right, from conservatives, about government overreach, fear mongering about socialism. And I imagine that they might see a public banking system through that narrow lens. So how, if when you talk to a Californian, do you explain what a public banking system is and why it is better than a private banking system?
So a public bank is a financial institution that is owned by a local government. It could be a city, a county, or a region co-owned by multiple jurisdictions. And the deposit base for a public bank are the tax revenues and the fees that our city accrues, our tax dollars that now sit in out-of-state Wall Street banks that earn next to zero in interest. And that is money, billions of dollars of being siphoned from California communities that are oftentimes used to finance destructive and predatory industries that our communities actively fight against. You know, since the economic crash, big banks have been fined $160 billion in bad banking practices. And these are practices that disproportionately affect low-income communities and communities of color. They have financed nearly $2 billion in dead-end fossil fuel projects since the Paris Agreement. Big banks have financed over $3 billion in two of the largest private prison industries. And, you know, this is our money that is continually being used to harm our communities. So what we're saying is it's now time to create a third option, a public option that allows our profit and resources to remain in our communities, to recapture the interest that we pay to Wall Street bondholders, to double our power to invest in our local communities, and use that money to mobilize our public revenues to actually serve the people. Hmm. So going back to a public bank, there's two very important distinctions between a public bank and a private bank. Public banks are mandated to serve our communities, which means they're required to invest in and lend to the communities they serve. And that allows public banks to be a lot more responsive to local pressing needs, like the need to rebuild after fires. In areas like Sonoma County, where that would be more relevant in areas, metropolitan areas, urban areas, the need for low-income housing. California is now facing a shortage of 3.5 million affordable homes when private developers don't have an incentive to create affordable housing. We can't allow basic human needs to be in the hands of private developers. We have to be able to access credit at below market interest rates to be able to serve our communities. So one important distinction is that they are mandated to serve the communities. The other important distinction is that they, unlike private banks, public banks don't compete with smaller banks like community banks and credit unions. Through our legislation, AB 857, public banks are required to partner with local banks, smaller banks, to be able to offer low-cost retail services. And that's a very important part of this, because within the last 20 years, California has lost over 75% of our local banks. 75% that have been gobbled up and consolidated by bigger Wall Street banks. And that is a very, very stark figure because, Ellen Brown actually frames this really succinctly. She says, when you kill off the local banks, you kill off the small and medium-sized businesses that depend on those local banks. And when you kill off the small and medium-sized businesses, you kill off the local economy that depends on those small and medium-sized businesses. So what public banking essentially does is bring back local control of our public dollars. Deposits are made locally, investments are made locally, and the decision-making process behind investments are made locally.
And Ellen Brown, who you just referred to, is the founder of the Public Banking Institute. She's an author and an attorney. This is, of course, a critical, whenever California takes on a groundbreaking issue, it can set the stage for other states around the nation to do similar things. And I understand that the bill, AB 857, just won support from a top-tier presidential candidate from the Democratic Party, Bernie Sanders. Can you tell me how important such an endorsement was? You know, has his fellow candidate, Elizabeth Warren, who has taken on Wall Street, joined him in endorsing the bank? Is this the sort of thing that you are expecting to take on a national significance?
Yes, Bernie Sanders just incredibly endorsed last Wednesday, and that was absolutely exciting for the movement. He's been a longtime supporter of public banking for the state of Vermont. He's been a supporter of postal banking, which is a form of public banking that utilizes the existing brick and mortar infrastructure of postal offices to be able to offer low-cost consumer services. So this was, a very logical, transition of support for public banking and in the state of Vermont to focus on California, which has always been at the center of innovation for the nation. So leading the nation in progressive policies is what we do as Californians. So we're ecstatic to have Bernie Sanders' support on this issue. And Elizabeth Warren has been, another very outspoken critic of Wall Street. And so we hope to have her support moving forward.
So the opposition here in California, you mentioned, has been trying to counter the claims that you have made. Tell us a little bit about their tactics, how much money they're pouring into this. I imagine that it's a lot of Wall Street banks that are not happy about the idea of a public competitor.
I'm not certain about the amount of money that they have poured into this, but when we started, as this campaign was mounting in the last few months, there were 9 financial industry lobby firms that were opposed to this bill. We have actually been able to neutralize one with another on the way. These are all active negotiations, so I don't want to go too much into details. But, it's been Wall Street lobbying versus the people's lobbying. And with the incredible amount of support that we've been able to build within the last 5 months of building this coalition, which is now, 17 cities and counties in the state of California have actually passed resolutions to endorse AB 857, the Public Banking Act. The California Democratic Party backs this. Some of the biggest labor unions in the state of California is behind this bill. Democratic Central Committees from across the state back this bill. Over 180 organizations representing statewide, regional, community organizations are behind the Public Banking Act. So it's literally the Wall Street banks versus California. And that's how we've really framed this as California versus Wall Street. And so it's been interesting lobbying because, their talking points were that it's risky. It's never been done before. There's no need for that. Really predictable talking points that we've been able to counter. As I mentioned earlier in the show, just the track record of Wall Street stands for itself. There is an existing model for public banking. It's the Bank of North Dakota, which is incredibly successful. Which is seen its 15th consecutive year of profit. It has an 18% return on investment. It's more profitable than J.P. Morgan Chase. This really is an idea whose time has come. Mm-hmm. And, as my colleague Dave Jetty said, public banking is a common sense step towards financial independence. And that is why we're seeing the widespread support that we are from grassroots to grass tops.
So do you expect the bill to win a vote in both state houses in California? And if that does happen, to be signed into law by Governor Gavin Newsom? Has he made any public indications? Do you have the, have you tallied up the number of votes in the state houses?
Yes, we are in the process of vote counting now. We've had continuous interactions with both assembly members and senators on this bill. We just lobbied last week in Sacramento. The week before that, our allies, Podera SF and a bunch of other organizations lobbied as well. So we've had massive widespread support among the coalition to lobby for this, and we've secured a lot of commitment from assembly members already. After the bill passes the Senate floor, it's going to return to the Assembly for a concurrence vote due to added amendments. So we've already passed the Assembly once. We're confident that we will be able to pass it a second time, especially with the added amendments that have added, you know, more oversight on the bill. And senators have also reacted very positively towards this bill. We now have actually 17 co-authors behind this bill. That's 17 senators and assembly members in the California state legislature who have signed on to co-author this bill in addition to our two lead authors.
And has Newsom made any indication?
He's been supportive of public banking in the past, and we had a great meeting with his office last week when we were in Sacramento. So we are highly optimistic. You know, this really is the inevitable evolution of a financial system that has served only a very few people. And it's not just California that's pushing for public banking. It's cities and states all across the country, from Washington, D.C. to New Mexico, Michigan, New Jersey, New York. A New York senator just introduced a sister legislation similar to AB 857. So it really is an idea whose time has come, and we believe the 21st century is well ready for a public banking option.
Given the conversations these days around the possibility of a new economic recession, does the idea of a public bank become even more critical?
Absolutely. The Federal Reserve estimated that the last economic crash cost $70,000 on average of lifetime income for Americans. That's $70,000 lost, and with a $200 trillion hit to the national GDP. You know, when you look at cities like Los Angeles and the economic, in the last crash, you know, our revenues were cut, which meant we had to sever about 19% of our operating funds. So that's less money that's going towards fixing our streets and infrastructure and other essential needs of our society that are going to be impacted by Wall Street's actions. So it's very critical that cities and counties and regions across the state find a real and viable solution to Wall Street banks that are going to be able to safeguard our tax dollars and be able to use that money, leverage that money to reinvest in our communities.
Right. There's so many times when members of the public who are upset about something that the bank that holds their money does, you know, such as investing in immigrant detention centers or fossil fuel infrastructure, and wants to remove all their money, usually the only options they might have are credit unions. Public bank would give yet another option for diverting funds into an institution that is much more likely to be a clean institution, if you will.
Yes, absolutely. This is the ultimate form of divestment. You know, a lot of us who got involved in public banking got involved through local divestment efforts here in Los Angeles. This was the evolution of our Divest LA campaign, where we worked for 9 months to get the city to divest their commercial banking services from Wells Fargo Bank, and we succeeded. The LA City Council voted unanimously to sever commercial banking contracts from Wells Fargo Bank and broke up over 800 Wells Fargo accounts with the intention of moving those accounts into smaller community banks that would be more socially responsible. But the reality was, with the city the size of Los Angeles, with a portfolio of the size, there were logistically only a number of banks that would be able to handle the city's financial needs. And unsurprisingly, those are your biggest private Wall Street banks. So the money that was currently in Wells Fargo Bank is now going into Chase, Bank of America, and Union Wall Street banks. So this creating a public bank allows the city to redirect those funds towards a financial institution that is owned by the city, that is accountable to the people of Los Angeles. And that's going to ultimately put, you know,
right,
a public interest over private profit.
So finally, Trinity, in the last minute of our conversation, what do you want for our audience to do as you await these critical votes in the state houses of California? Are you calling on members of the public who want to see this become a reality to lobby their own state representatives and even the governor?
Yes, exactly it. Within the next 2 weeks, the bill will be heard in both the Senate and Assembly floor. And once it passes both by September 13th, then it will land on Governor Newsom's desk for him to sign. California is now literally on the verge of a financial revolution. This is an incredible moment for us to take the lead, the national lead, and create a real option for communities across the state. So we're urging our supporters to please call your senators, your California state senators, and urge them to vote aye on AB 857 when it lands on the floor. And also please call Governor Newsom and make sure that he will support this bill once it gets off the floor.
Well, Trinity, I want to wish you good luck and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sonali. Thank you for all you do. Appreciate it.
My guest has been Trinity Tran, lead organizer with the California Public Banking Alliance. We've been discussing AB 857, the public banking bill in California. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.